28 minutes past 7 on Monday Night's Arena, and Monday Night's means it's time for our European City Break series, where we travel absolutely safely and without fear of COVID-19, because we are travelling by novel. Last week, Mary McGill showed us Amsterdam through its golden age of art in her book Choices. Tonight we're off to Berlin with Richard Aldous, and three novels from three different decades, one from the 1960s, one from the 1990s, and the most recent from the end of the noughties. And Richard Aldous joins me now from New York, in fact. But when we spoke to you first about this series, Richard, Berlin was the immediate choice. There was no doubt in your mind. Do you have a particular relationship with that city?
It's a city that I love, Sean. I love to visit, but also as a historian, it's so central to the 20th century experience, whether it's in the early part of the century with Hitler and Nazism, but even more so in some ways with the Cold War and the way in which the Berlin Wall represents everything about that conflict. So it's a city which has captured the historical imagination as well as the literary one, I think.
And does it capture the imagination pre-World War II in the same way as it does post-World War II, which is where you have chosen from the period from which you've chosen your three novels?
I think that it does, obviously, because of that it's so closely connected with Hitler and Nazism, but also the First World War as well. So, but there is something very visceral, I think, about the wall and the way in which that symbolizes the conflict during the Cold War, when, of course, everything was so dangerous because of nuclear weapons. So there was always that fear with the Cold War and Berlin that conflict, that something happening in that city would bring about some kind of nuclear confrontation.
And quite definitely that is what is there in the first choice that you have for us from 1963. The wall is just up, in fact, in the case of this book. One of the greatest spy novels ever written is what you say, and I think many people will agree with you. Tell us what that first choice is and why.
Yeah, it's John le Carré's The Spy Who Came in from the Cold. And as you say, I mean, it really is one of the greatest spy novels ever written. It kind of begins and ends at the Berlin Wall. Obviously, I'm not going to give away what happens at the end. But he really captures the kind of grittiness, the real sense of division that the wall represents. But he also uses it kind of very cleverly to represent the moral ambiguity, which he really brings out in his novels. Many of his critics describe this as a moral equivalence between East and West. But of course, it contrasts with the generation earlier. The first James Bond novel came out in 1953, so 10 years before this book. And the character of Alec Lemus in this book by Le Carré and the character of James Bond really couldn't be any different. That Lemus is a kind of very seedy character. He's burnt out, he's disillusioned, he doesn't really have any kind of sense of the glamour or the style or even the vodka martinis of James Bond.
Given that sceniness and, as you say, the absence of style perhaps that Lemus has, how does Le Carré achieve the ambiguity, the moral ambiguity and the kind of the difficult decisions that Lemus either half makes or doesn't make?
Yeah, he does it in a number of ways, actually. First of all, he introduces a character called Liz Gold in the novel. She's actually given a different name in the famous film. But Liz Gold represents idealism. She speaks from the heart. She's very committed to what she does. And he upbraids her to kind of towards the end, again, without giving away what happens, you know, where he says to her, well, what do you think that spies are? That, you know, we're not measuring things against God or Karl Marx. We're just a kind of bunch of seedy, squalid so-and-so. In fact, he uses much stronger language than that. But this kind of sense of the kind of the seediness, the lack of morality, the kind of ethical balance between East and West, which has completely been blown away for Alec by the relationship that he has with this young woman, Liz Gold.
And the Le Carre himself, of course, involved in the whole spy trade. How important is that to his ability to write novels in general, but particularly this novel? How did it help, do you think?
Yes, it's interesting, Sean, isn't it? Because there's no question about it that because Le Carre was involved with both MI5 and MI6, the kind of novel is kind of suffused with this kind of sense of reality, of knowing what he was talking about. Ian Fleming with the James Bond novels kind of played on the same kind of idea, that because Fleming had been involved with naval intelligence during the war. So, you know, you read these things and they have that kind of that air of reality about them. They feel as if they're written from the inside. And interestingly, there's a new work of history by Simon Ball called Secret History, which has just been written about this. And he shows how Le Carre and Fleming, they actually use the style that MI5 and MI6 use to write their own case histories. So there really is a kind of a sense of continuity between the real spies writing about what happened and Le Carre and Fleming and these people writing about it in these fictional works.
Are you telling me that there are some great stylists in MI5 and that we should all get in there and rifle the files to entertain ourselves?
It is actually, I mean, it's although, I mean, we laugh about it in kind of some ways, when you go back, for example, when you read the official histories and the case histories of something like Enigma, cracking the Enigma code, Bletchley Park, they are fantastically written. They're beautifully written, historically impeccable, because the thing that they actually want with those histories is to record what actually happened, because then they can draw on it later. It's not actually in their interest to kind of corrupt what happened, because then it's no use to them later on.
How frightening a place is the Berlin that John le Carre gives us in The Spy Who Came In from the Cold?
It's terrifying, isn't it? I mean, it really does capture not just the seediness of the kind of the spy world, but the real sense of danger. I mean, I was very struck, actually, when I was listening to Colm Tobin talking about Venice, and he made the point to you that, you know, maps really don't make any difference in Venice. You know, you just kind of, you end up, you go down the wrong street, is kind of thing, kind of so on. But in Berlin in the 1960s, it's the complete opposite. You did not want to find yourself in the wrong sector. The wall defined those maps. Everything is very clearly kind of laid out. So it's almost the opposite kind of experience to that Venetian one that he's describing.
The physical Berlin that he describes then is very much, is it dictated by that, the nature of whatever part of the city you are in and the politics of that part of the city?
Yeah, very much so. And really, the whole novel is about the transition from West Berlin to East Berlin and East Berlin to West Berlin. So he has a number of these set pieces in the book that are incredibly dramatic, very tense, for particularly, you know, when the one that happens towards the end is just spine tingling as you see these characters trying to negotiate that transition.
Now, if the Berlin of John le Carre's The Spy Who Came In from the Cold is a frightening place, it's not remotely as frightening as the place that Robert Harris gives us in his 1992 novel Fatherland, which is your second choice for us this evening, Richard Aldous, bringing us to Berlin by book. An alternative history. We're in 1964, just the year after, I suppose, or just around the time of le Carre, but a different Berlin for sure.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I chose this book purposely because it is, as you say, an alternative history to exactly the period that we were talking about with Le Carre, that it's set in 1964, but we are in a Cold War, but it's a different Cold War because Hitler had won the war, and so the Cold War is actually between Germany and the United States. But there is a kind of a détente going on between the president, who who's running for re-election in 64 and Hitler. So yes, it's a very different kind of world. I'm not going to give away the twist, but it's fascinating what he does with America and the American president in the context of this alternative history.
I was surprised, however, that an historian like you would choose an alternative history. Surely your academic sensibilities must have been jumping up and down initially, were they?
Well, there are a number of things about that. There has actually been a lot of really interesting academic work done on counterfactual history, alternative history. Neil Ferguson, Andrew Roberts brought out two very good books on that. But, you know, this is a thriller that we listeners are going to be going on this virtual tour to Berlin, not to necessarily think about academic history. They want to be entertained as well. And Robert Harris is one of the most entertaining thriller writers that I know. I think I've probably read all of his books. And I think that one of the things that I like about him and that he does very well in this, which was his first book. I mean, this was his debut novel. He was a political journalist. I think he was the political editor at the Sunday Times at one stage. He'd mainly written non-fictions, but he absolutely hit it out of the park the first time around with this book. And one of the things that I like about it is that he really takes care with the historical details. So actually what he's doing with this book set in 1964 is that he is as well talking about the Holocaust, the Nazi regime, the famous Wannsee conference where the Heydrich initiated the Holocaust and so on. So he really takes care with the historical details. So in the one hand, this is counterfactual, it's an alternative history, but in other ways, he's incredibly careful in making sure that there is this kind of reality or that it's rooted in the reality of what happened.
I suppose that was one of the biggest challenges. It was obviously he could write an alternative history if he wanted, but he had to deal with the fact that the Holocaust had happened. So in this alternative history, how does he handle, or I suppose, how does he let his characters in Berlin handle the past reality of the Holocaust?
Yeah, I don't want to give away too much of the kind of twists and turns of the thriller, but essentially the Holocaust, although it happened, is not known. So when we start this book, it's been completely kind of pushed not even into the margins of history. It just simply didn't happen. So one of the things that he's doing in this book is, as a police officer in Berlin, he uncovers what looks like a fairly run-of-the-mill crime. He discovers a body in the canal in Berlin. And as he digs into this murder, it kind of becomes apparent that this is kind of part of a cover-up about something. And as the novel goes along, we gradually get to learn more and more about why this murder has taken place and what it means for German history.
What about the physical nature of the Berlin that Harris gives us then? Are we in a place that is, there are a lot more swastikas visible than one might expect, where the goose step is more prevalent than perhaps one might expect or was in reality in the 1960s?
Yeah, and the physical Berlin has been rebuilt along the lines of Speer and the big plans for Berlin to look like Imperial Rome. I mean, so those visions of an imperial city, which we know that Hitler had, have come to pass. And in fact, the novel is set in the days leading up to the 75th birthday of Hitler, and so. So yes, there's a real sense of the kind of everything that you would expect from those kind of rallies. Interestingly, though, in some ways, the most chilling aspect is seeing what has happened to the very young in Berlin. Because, so for example, the main police officer, his child, seeing him deal with his child who has grown up completely within the kind of the Nazi system, is totally indoctrinated. indoctrinated with kind of party ideology and so on. So in some ways, that is almost the most chilling aspect of this.
Final choice that you have for Sen this evening, Richard Aldous, to bring us to Berlin by book. We're going to a very contemporary Berlin, 2009, almost today, if you like, in some ways. The Book of Clouds by Chloe Aridhis. What's the opening scene here, I suppose, really sets the whole book up for us, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is a really lovely book by a Mexican-American writer. And in some ways, it pulls together a lot of the themes that we've already been talking about. That as a young child, she goes with her family to Berlin. And when she's on the subway, she thinks that she sees Hitler disguised as an old woman. And she looks around and she sees that this old woman seems to be surrounded by these burly looking figures who could well be the kind of Praetorian Guard. And kind of, so it kind of plays on that kind of childhood imagination. But then she comes back to Berlin as a student and lives in Berlin for several years. So the book is about her relationship with the city. Obviously, now this is a reunited city. But one of the things that is so wonderful about the book is that she shows how the kind of the contemporary Berlin is so wrapped up with its own sense of history, and how the lifeblood of the city is kind of is its history and dealing with its history, and this very welcoming city having to deal with its dark and complicated past.
What about the Berlin that many of us know in terms of tourism, if we ever get back to the days when we'll be able to travel to cities like Berlin? You know, great nightlife, galleries. It is the essence of cool, really, Berlin, isn't it? The essence of alternative, the essence of progressive. Do we get any sense of that in the Book of Clouds from Aridhis?
Yeah, you know, there is a kind of a sense of the kind of the party life of kind of what a welcoming, kind of very open city Berlin is. I mean, Berlin traditionally has always been, despite what we sometimes might think, because of it being the kind of the capital during the Second World War and kind of so on, it's always been a very liberal city, a very progressive, open-minded city. And yes, you know, that does come through. But there is also what she does so well is to contrast that with the kind of with Germany trying to kind of work out its history, and also the complicated relationship, which I think is still there, actually, and which you see, for example, in the rivalry between the two soccer teams in Berlin, between East and West, that there is still a sense that East Berlin is being reintegrated into the city, or that, perhaps to put it better, that the two sides are integrating themselves into each other, and that has turned out to be quite a complicated relationship. It is worth saying that thinking about kind of Berlin and us going to Berlin, that in the first book that we discussed, The Spy Who Came In From the Cold, that the famous film of that was actually filmed in Dublin.
Yeah,
and they did actually bring it was at Ardmore.
Yeah,
and they did actually build some of the Berlin Wall. I think it was in the Smithfield.
That's precisely
kind of
right.
Smithfield Market. So they're kind of in some ways, we're already 50, whatever it is, years too late in that.
You're in New York. Are you reading New York books? And will you put them in your mind for the next time we want to talk?
I think it's inevitable, isn't it, that what we're going through now will kind of have this kind of, I imagine, creative effect in literature. Mm. But yeah, I've actually found myself rereading the novels of Philip Roth. So I've just read the first two of the Zuckerman books.
All right.
Philip Roth, who is actually kind of buried here at Bard College. Those books really do stand up to the test of time. He's a wonderful, wonderful writer.
All right. That's Richard Aldous there speaking to us briefly at the end about New York. Don't want all his New York ideas just yet. His three Berlin books are The Spy Who Came In From the Cold by John le Carré, Fatherland by Robert Harris, and the final one we spoke about there, The Book of Clouds by Chloe Aridhis. And next Monday, John Banville will be with us, and he will be taking us to Prague.